What is up? It's The Rant. My name is Jeff Ratcliffe, and it is Monday, October 5th. Wow. That was almost really bad this weekend. Just saying. Wow. It ends up being that the Titans are the only ones. Titans-Steelers game is the only one postponed, just like we thought. But for a minute there, early on Sunday morning, a lot of people like woke up and just kind of missed all of this. But it looked like Detroit and New Orleans was going to be canceled for a minute. Thankfully, that did not happen. That game was entertaining. And, of course, we'll break down what I saw from that game on today's podcast, like we always do on a Monday. Got some interesting notes for you from each game around the NFL today. Of course, before I get into those, though, I have to tell you about our sponsor for today's show. And that, of course, is Monkey Knife Fight. Do you like to play daily fantasy sports? Well, you need to check out MonkeyKnifeFight.com. MonkeyKnifeFight.com is the fastest growing daily fantasy site in the world because MonkeyKnifeFight.com is different than the other daily fantasy sites. That's because on MonkeyKnifeFight.com, there's no salary caps. You don't have to play against sharks. And that means anyone has a chance of winning, even you. MonkeyKnifeFight.com has tons of fun daily contests in all the sports you love. Baseball, basketball, hockey, golf, UFC, NASCAR, WNBA, esports, and a little thing we like to call football. Monkey Knife Fight has it all. And you know what else MonkeyKnifeFight.com has? A free $5 game for you, just for signing up. And if you use the promo code RANT, R-A-N-T, you'll have your first deposit matched instantly up to $50. That's good right there. With a name like MonkeyKnifeFight.com, you can be pretty certain you know what you're going to be getting into when you sign up to play. Monkeys and knives and fights and sports. Sign up and play today at MonkeyKnifeFight.com. Play to MKF and win. State and age restrictions apply. See site for full terms and restrictions. Again, that's a great way to just help the show out right there by using that promo code RANT. Anyway, I want to get into the games from this weekend. Of course, we do have some injury situations to update you on as well. But we will kick things off with the Indianapolis Colts and Chicago Bears. And, you know, in this contest, this was, I got to say that it's pretty clear it was Mitchell Trubisky, at least for Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson goes out and has really another solid week. I mean, when you drafted Allen Robinson where you drafted him this year, after the first couple games, you were probably thinking, what the heck did I do? This is the same old Allen Robinson from before. Forget about last season. No. Allen Robinson is balling out. But I tell you what, there is a changing of the guard taking place here in this wide receiver group. Darnell Mooney actually out-snapped Anthony Miller, 46-43. And, of course, why is that important? Well, you know, Anthony Miller has sort of been lackluster from a consistency standpoint. He's capable of making some impressive plays. There's no doubt about it. But generally speaking, lackluster. And Darnell Mooney is on the rise. He also saw 9 targets in this one for 123 air yards. Allen Robinson's 10 targets traveled 131 air yards. So, by the way, 5 for 42 air yards for Anthony Miller. So that's a big one right there. David Montgomery was on the field for 53 snaps. Ryan Nall played just 1. So in terms of running back snaps, that's crucial. Keep in mind, Cordarrelle Patterson is a wide receiver who gets occasional snaps in the backfield. But this is David Montgomery. That's a really important stat because I had said before this game, I thought we were going to see him in basically a 3-down role. That's exactly what we saw. So even though they didn't win here, his arrow is certainly pointing up. On the other side, kind of pretty much what we expected with one notable exception here, the T.Y. Hilton thing, I know is really frustrating to a lot of folks. So he played 54 snaps here, so he was on the field a lot. But obviously that didn't translate to production. Just 3 for 29 on 5 targets. Zach Pascal really seemed to be the guy who Rivers was looking to. He had 8 targets in this one and 3 for 58 for Pascal. If you're thinking, should I drop T.Y. Hilton? Because I know that if you have T.Y. Hilton on your roster right now, you might be thinking that. Now, even if you don't have T.Y. Hilton on your roster right now, I think this is just an important point to make. When we do things in fantasy football, now it could be any number of things, but we are ultimately, we could distill everything down to one goal, right? To make our team better, you know, to ultimately to win. That's the freaking goal, right? So no matter what we do, whether it's trading, you know, I keep telling people, hey, if you get offered a trade, the first thing you ask is, does it make my team better, right? You don't ask, should I accept it? It's, does this make my team better? And if the answer isn't yes, a resounding yes, then you don't do it, right? Well, same thing applies to dropping a player. I know when a player is not doing well, the immediate thought is, I got to drop this guy. I got to drop him. Screw him. F him. But if there's nobody to pick up, dropping him doesn't actually make your team any better, right? It doesn't make your team any better than just keeping T.Y. Hilton on your bench. No, it doesn't. And if you're picking up crap, does it really make your team better? I don't think it does. So keep that in mind as you're going through this process here of, I hate this guy. I'm so frustrated with this guy. Whoever the guy is, remember, your goal is to make your team better. And if dropping that guy really doesn't accomplish that goal, then don't do it. Like, spite dropping him isn't going to hurt T.Y. Hilton's feelings. You know, so there's no way to, like, get back at him. How dare you, T.Y.? I am dropping you from my meager fantasy football team. If it doesn't serve a purpose, don't do it. And I know that's hard because there's a lot of emotion sometimes that it gets involved with fantasy football. But, you know, try and keep that one in mind. All right, so let's move on. Jacksonville and Cincinnati, of course, DJ Chark. Yeah, he's the straw that stirs the drink in that offense, man. He gets back on the field, immediate difference maker. He scores twice, both of them end zone targets. Those are very important. The easiest way to score a touchdown is if you get targeted in the end zone, so you have to like seeing that. James Robinson, another healthy workload for him. Laviska Shenault was banged up here with a hammy, so we'll keep an eye on him. Really playing good football, man. That kid is a good football player. But the big story really on the other side, Joe Mixon delivered a monster game for Joe Mixon. 25 for 151 and two scores as a runner, also scores as a receiver, 6 for 30. That's a PPR day right there. So you got to like that. But let's go back to the theme. AJ Green. Oh, boy. So AJ Green played more snaps than T. Higgins, 53 to 43, but Higgins led in targets 7 to 5 and air yards 126 to 97. The writing is on the wall here. AJ Green is really trending in the wrong direction rapidly. Again, though, spite dropping him isn't going to accomplish much. So if you're heading to waivers this week and you're like, I want to drop AJ Green. Well, why do you want to drop him, right? You want to make your team better. Him on your bench or him on waivers. If there isn't a better guy to pick up to put on your bench, then I don't see the point. But anyway, he is not trending in the right direction. Sorry about that. Really, Joe Burrow off to a great start, 300 passing yards yet again in this one. So, you know, tremendous start for him. Moving on to Cleveland and Dallas, obviously an incredibly entertaining game, but a game that will have ramifications on the fantasy football landscape because Nick Chubb lands on injured reserve. Remember, that's at least a 3-week absence. And so this is going to open up some stuff we'll talk about on waivers tomorrow. Kareem Hunt obviously will be in the driver's seat here, but D'Ernest Johnson, 13 carries for him, 95 yards. So he is obviously going to be a priority for us on waivers, at least for the short term, a little bit of a rental car because there is enough meat on the bone in this one really for two running backs to produce, as we've seen so far. Now, he's not going to be Nick Chubb, but could he be a flex or better? Yeah, potentially. I mean, he basically was this week, you know, on limited work, too. So you have that there. Obviously, this is a massive game for OBJ. Hopefully, you're patient enough. 5 for 81 and two scores as a receiver, and then he adds 2 for 73. He has a 50-yard touchdown and a 23-yard run. As well. So an enormous day for him. Otherwise, you know, relatively straightforward. He didn't get a big Baker day. It was okay because he had the two passing scores, but really wasn't the number that you were hoping from a yardage standpoint. But whatever. I mean, if Jarvis doesn't throw the touchdown, then maybe you get 3 out of him. But the big story is on the other side. Dak Prescott, another massive yardage day, 502 and 4 from Dak Prescott. He is now on pace for like almost 6,800 passing yards. This eventually has to slow down, you figure, but this could be a record-setting year for Dak Prescott. Now, the wide receivers are really interesting. So I noted their, on Twitter, at Jeff Rackliff, I noted their average depth of target. So Amari Cooper was the best fantasy play, 12 catches for 134 and a score, but his ADOT was only 7.9. So just 7.9 yards downfield on average is where he was targeted. That's obviously pretty short. Then you have CeeDee Lamb, 5 for 79 and two targets. He had two touchdowns. He had seven targets. CeeDee Lamb, 13.4 ADOT, so a little bit further downfield than Cooper, sort of the mid-range. Michael Gallup, who a lot of people are frustrated with. I do not think you should be dropping Michael Gallup, by the way. 2 on 5 for 29, but his ADOT was 16.8. So he was the deep target. And it just wasn't a game where there were, you know, that sort of translated. So keep this in mind. If you have CeeDee Lamb, right now you feel great. Last week, maybe not as much. If you have Michael Gallup, last week you felt great. This week, not as much. This is going to continue. This is a bumpy ride going forward. Buckle up. Buckle up for that one. Zeke was just fine here. Even in a game where he doesn't score as a runner, really doesn't do much on the ground. He bails you out big time. 8 for 71 as a receiver. Moving on to New Orleans and Detroit, and yes, it looked like for a moment there, this game was in jeopardy. Michael Burton, the fullback there for the Saints, tested positive for COVID-19, but then it was later fortunately revealed as a false positive. I knew that there's going to be more false positives going forward, but the nice thing with the rapid result test is that you can test somebody multiple times in a short span. And, you know, ultimately this was resolved. So ends up being quite an entertaining game. Matty Stafford sort of getting back on track a little bit. Not a big yardage day, but three passing scores certainly helps. One of them to Kenny Golladay, one of them to DeAndre Swift, one of them to TJ Hockenson. Hock gets in the end zone this week. The running back's workload is pretty interesting. From a snap standpoint, Adrian Peterson, 27 snaps, DeAndre Swift, 23. Kerryon Johnson, 11. I think Kerryon Johnson is droppable. DeAndre Swift is, you know, it's not a massive role right now, but he's producing flex numbers. You know, he scores again, solid production. But Kerryon Johnson is droppable. I just think he is not long for this backfield. On the other side, well, I mean, you can't really complain if you have Alvin Kamara. He does have a touchdown, 19 for 83 on the ground. And 3 for 36 as a receiver. You can't have those massive receiving days all the time, especially when you're playing from the lead for a good chunk of the game. But Lat Murray actually outscoring him just slightly in PPR. 14 for 64, two touchdowns for Latavius Murray, one additional catch for 19. Don't worry about this. The snaps worked out. 47 snaps for Kamara. Lat Murray, 29 snaps. So this is just was his week, but that's about it. Oh, by the way, Marvin Jones did lead the Detroit Lions wide receivers with 54 snaps. Just two targets, though. Kenny Golladay played 50 snaps and, of course, led the team with eight targets. This is Marvin Jones. Any week, he could have this or he could have three touchdowns, you know, 180 yards, whatever. This is Marvin Jones, unfortunately. There's nothing new about this. Seattle, Miami. Shout out to Miami for staying in this thing. You know, basically, a lot of folks gave him no shot at all, and they stayed in it for a good chunk of the game. But of course, offensively, Seattle just a little bit too much. Now, it wasn't an enormous game out of Russell Wilson, but it was still two touchdowns, 360 passing yards out of this guy. So just fine. Could have had three passing scores, by the way. Chris Carson has two rushing scores. He was, you know, it didn't look like he was going to play this week, and then gets through practice. He's just fine, and boom. Has a big day. Tyler Lockett had a down game. Better days will be ahead for him. Don't worry about that. I will warn people against David Moore. He was fourth on this, you know, in terms of Seattle wideouts in snaps. Just 22. So, yes, he had the touchdown reception, but Freddie Swain outsnapped him. So, I don't know if I'm going to run out and pick him up. On the other side, good game for Parker. 10 for 110 for him. Just heavy volume. Isaiah Ford actually saw 10 targets in this one as well. Led the Dolphins in air yards. He had 93 air yards. He had actually more air yards than Devontae Parker. So Parker doing a little bit of work after the catch. Isaiah Ford's an interesting name right now. That's all. I'm just going to toss that one out there. Just throwing it out there, all right? Also, throw this out there. This is maybe even crazier than Dak Prescott's passing yardage pace. Jordan Howard has 18 carries and he has 14 rushing yards. That is unreal right there. Because he does another Jordan Howard, has another Jordan Howard day. He goes 2 for 2, which is great in baseball. It's not in football. Anyway, moving on to the Chargers and Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Hey, Tom Terrific went out and had finally the game. I think we were expecting to see games like this season. At least I was. 5 passing scores for Tom Brady, 369 passing yards. Huge, humongous big day for him. 1 touchdown to Evans, 1 to Scotty Miller, 1 to O.J. Howard, who will be out, it looks like, for the rest of the season with an Achilles injury. 1 to Keyshawn Vaughn, even Keyshawn freaking Vaughn getting in the mix. By the way, that injury for O.J. Howard really does mean the arrow is pointing up for Rob Gronkowski. Cameron Brake could become interesting. I'd expect this is, you know, more Gronk now. Ronald Jones has a pretty solid day, 20 for 111. So high volume day for Ronald Jones. Looked okay, but this is Ronald Jones as well. We know Ronald Jones, right? On the other side, has Justin Herbert done enough to keep the job? Like he didn't win this game, but he kept them in the game, and he made some special throws in this one for sure. 290 and 3 scores for Justin Herbert. Of course, I'm burying the lead mightily here because Herbert aside, Austin Eckler suffers a grade 2 hamstring injury here. And that means that he's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. As of when I'm recording right now, he's not officially on injured reserve yet, but he is going to be placed on injured reserve. So that means Joshua Kelly and Justin Jackson, who was active in this one and played, those are going to be our guys. I will talk about how to, you know, prioritize Jackson because Kelly is widely owned right now. If you have Kelly right now, good for you. Jackson will have some value, though. There is no doubt about that in my mind. I will tell you this, though. Two guys on this roster, this Chargers roster, who had good stat lines, who will not have value going forward, at least in the short term. Donald Parham. Donald Parham had 1 for 19 and a touchdown, right? All right, well, he got involved. No, that was his only snap. That was it. Donald Parham plays 1 snap. He's the most efficient player ever, man. 1 snap, boom, done. Tyron Johnson, he had the long touchdown early, 1 for 53. He played 8 snaps, so we're not looking at either of those guys as fantasy options, all right? All right, moving on to Baltimore and Washington. Bounce back for Lamar, and even with the big game here, he still is only the number 5 fantasy quarterback of the week, and it's not a knock on Lamar, not a knock on him at all. It's touchdown passing regression. That's all we're saying. 193 and 2 there. He had the pretty long touchdown, the 50-yarder, 7 for 53 and a touchdown on the ground. But I will tell you, so Marquise Brown didn't have a particularly big day. I mean, it was okay, 4 for 86, but it could have been an enormous day for sure. His targets traveled 219 air yards, so a big day is brewing here for Marquise Brown. I don't know when it's going to come, but I think he's gonna win some people some big-time money in DFS one of these weeks, a little Lamar Marquise stack. It's not a cheap stack, but, you know. Anyway, Andrews in the zone twice, so solid there. The backfield was weird yet again. Mark Ingram played fewer snaps than Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins. He played 14 snaps. Edwards played 22. Dobbins played 21. Ingram ends up being the best fantasy option of the bunch, but, man, that backfield is just a complete mess. Not a mess on the other side, though, because Antonio Gibson balled out in this one. Had a really solid day as a receiver. 4 for 82. A couple long catches for him. Catch and runs, I should say. And 13 for 46 and another touchdown. He's finding the end zone. That's what he did at the college level. That's what he's doing here. I will say, though, that J.D. McKissic outsnapped him. J.D. McKissic played 39 snaps. 31 for Antonio Gibson. It's not a reason to be concerned. It's just pointing this out. He's not an every down player or anything like that. Terry McLaurin, doesn't matter. Goes after it in this one. 10 for 118. Doesn't matter. He's so good. I really like Terry McLaurin. Anyway, let's move on to our next contest here. And that is Arizona and Carolina. And I'm not going to bury the lead here. Kenyon Drake. Now, Kenyon Drake was banged up at the end of the game, but that didn't really cause his play during the game. And it looks like the team, you know, they're not using him as a true every down guy. They are using Chase Edmonds. Drake is probably one of the biggest fantasy disappointments so far this year. And I'm, you know, if a player gets hurt or if a player like holds out or whatever, I'm not going to call him a fantasy bust, but Kenyon Drake is heading towards fantasy bust territory because he's playing and he's not playing well. 13 for 35. Now, if you drafted Kenyon Drake, here's the thing. This is Kenyon Drake. Like, it's, we're not talking about, you know, Christian McCaffrey here. You don't expect massive games every single week. But we can go back to the podcast from fantasy draft season. I said, you know, hey, everybody's looking at week 15 and 16, but what about weeks 10 to 14 last year? This was the guy who we saw. So this is Kenyon Drake. Any week he could have a massive game. Any week. A lot of weeks he'll be like this, though. And, you know, you can't trade him because what are you going to do? You're going to trade a guy after that game? You can't cut him. So it is what it is. This is Kenyon Drake. I mean, this is Kenyon Drake. I do think that at least if there's a good thing that I can say about this, he showed us that against basically the worst run defense in the NFL, he couldn't do anything. That's telling to me. Kyler could. Kyler was just fine. Even though the yardage wasn't there, he throws for three passing scores. He had the long, the 48-yard run. 6 for 78 on the ground, so solid day there. One of the touchdowns goes to Edmonds. One goes to Jordan Thomas, of course, and one to Christian Kirk. DeAndre Hopkins gutted it out. Don't be too hard on DeAndre Hopkins. He played through an injury here and still had 7 for 41. You know, it's double-digit PPR points. That's, you know, all you can really do here. In terms of the other side, I got to take a closer look at this game. I'm going to look at the coverage. Robbie Anderson was the better fantasy option, 8 for 99 for Ando. DJ Moore, 4 for 49. And Anderson at 11 targets, 6 for DJ Moore. But DJ Moore did outsnap Anderson, 55 to 44. So I'm going to take a closer look at the target or the coverage in this one. Mike Davis had a pretty decent day on the ground, but they did use a lot of Reggie Bonifon in this one too. 10 for 53 for him. So basically, they could run all over the place in this contest. Teddy had a decent game, but you know, we're not going to get too out over our skis on Teddy Bridgewater. Minnesota, Houston, and Minnesota going and taking this game. Obviously, one of the easier calls of the week was Dalvin Cook. Adam Thielen had no problem in this matchup, getting in the end zone, going up over 100, 8 catches for him. And Justin Jefferson, 4 for 103. Justin Jefferson's ADOT in this game was 17.6, so heavy downfield targets for him. Solid there for the rookie wide receiver. On the other side, Brandon Cooks is the big story. Brandon Cooks had 0. He didn't play 0 snaps, though. He actually led the wide receivers in snaps. 61 snaps for Brandon Cooks, 50 for Will Fuller. Randall Cobb had 48. In terms of targets, it was the exact opposite, really. Not exact opposite, but Fuller had 7, Cobb had 5, and just 3 for Brandon Cooks. He did pretty much nothing. Is he droppable? Perhaps. This is Brandon Cooks, though. He's staying on brand. Can't spell Brandon without brand. There you go. Yeah, I know. Terrible. Anyway, this is him. David Johnson, 36 of 65 snaps. So not playing a three-down role in a game they were playing from behind. Pretty interesting. Duke was getting a little run in this one. Not a ton of run, but a little bit of run. It's worth noting, at least going forward. Giants and Rams, and the Rams' offense looked pretty flat. Jared Goff was a big disappointment. He did have, Cooper Kupp was fine, but Jared Goff comes crashing back to earth after two pretty solid performances in the last couple weeks. So, this is going to be the Rams' offense. I think it's a bit of a conundrum, and it's always going to, you know, it's going to baffle us. It's always going to baffle us. And we are especially baffled at running back, where Malcolm Brown outsnapped Daryl Henderson, 35 to 22. I don't know at this point. This is the one thing, the one reason why I kept saying last week, I wish I could just say I'm pushing all the chips in on Daryl Henderson, but I was not willing to do it. And yeah, here's why. Yay. Fun. Speaking of fun, the New York Giants. Devonta Freeman did lead the backfield in snaps with 37. he didn't really look that good on those 37. Wayne Gallman led in rushing yards, well, tied with Danny Dimes. So, yeah, and there was, like, almost nothing to report. Although I will say, Evan Engram was heavily used. He had 10 targets, and, you know, it seemed like that's all Jones was looking for. And remember, a couple years ago, when Evan Engram in his rookie season had the big year, it was because there was nobody else, and that's all Eli could do was look to him. So maybe Evan Engram's trending up here. 6 for 35 is not the biggest fantasy day. I mean, he'll take it, because tight end is just such a mess. But I actually like what we saw there from a usage standpoint. Moving on to Buffalo and the Raiders. And Buffalo, man. This team is they're off to a good start. And after seeing this game, all right, fine, I'll give it to you, Bills Mafia. Josh Allen has improved a lot. I'll give it to you. 288, how's it feel? 288 and 2 for Josh Allen. But here's the key number. 3 rushes for -1 yards. Now, that doesn't sound good, and it isn't. He scored a rushing touchdown, cool. But he basically didn't run here. Like, that's what that number means. He didn't run. Last year, that number would be like 9 for 50, right? Because he would have scrambled. He wasn't doing that here. I like that. That's progress. Okay, we want those fantasy points. Fine. No, this is good for Josh Allen. Very, very good. Stephon Diggs, another solid day there. And, you know, hey, it wasn't a massive day for Devin Singletary, but, boy, I like seeing him in a true three-down role. 23 touches for him in this contest. On the other side, Hunter Renfro ended up being outsnapped by Zay Jones and Nelson Aguilar. So, you know, whatever. Just whatever. Big day for Darren Waller, 9 for 88 for him on 12 targets. Renfro did have 8 targets, but the outsnapping thing, it's one of those headaches. Anyway, that's pretty much all. I mean, better days will be ahead for Josh Jacobs, too. I wouldn't worry too much there. It's a tough defense that they were facing in that contest. All right, well, round it out with Sunday Night Football. It was not the prettiest game for the Philadelphia Eagles, but they managed to pull out a victory here. It did seem a little crazy, the line. The line ended up closing at -7 for San Francisco. Being that Nick Mullins is under center, that's really the only reason why I think it was crazy. Of course, I didn't bet on it, so there's that. But regardless, 25-20 for the Philadelphia Eagles. A lot of very fascinating things, though, in this game. On the Philadelphia side, I mean, we got what we expected to see pretty much out of Miles Sanders from the usage standpoint. They did use him a lot. I know the fantasy numbers don't look great, but don't worry there. We did see a little bit more Jalen Hurts in this one, which I don't know if that's a trend going forward. But the big one for me, the thing that stands out, Zach Ertz had 4 catches. Oh, okay, cool. No, for 9 yards. Not 9 yards each, 9 yards. And when I looked a little closer, so he basically was not being targeted down, like anywhere near beyond the line of scrimmage, essentially. His average depth of target was 1 yard. 1 yard. Richard Rodgers had 37 air yards, so it was like a 9-yard A dot, like roughly 37 in this one, and he was the one who was being used in that area of the field. It just seemed odd, the usage here. There was a lot of odd things about this game. Another odd thing for a lot of folks who rolled in with Jeff Wilson as a flex is that Jeff Wilson basically didn't play. 67 snaps for Jerick McKinnon. He ends up having 21 touches in this contest. He was really solid. Jeff Wilson played 6 snaps. So, odd. Very odd. Also, Deebo Samuel did get in the mix in this one. He played 25 snaps. So, that's encouraging there for Deebo Samuel. He looked good. You know, looked very comfortable. Of course, Brandon Ayuk looked phenomenal. Another rushing score for him. 1 for 38, but one of the coolest hurdles you'll see, just showing his athleticism. And as a former track guy, I have to think that Brandon Ayuk, I don't know this for a fact, he had to have run track in the past. Now, it wasn't the hurdle that showed me that, too, by the way. It was, you know, like right after he breaks the run, he has to evade a tackle, and he does essentially a hop, and it was... Now, it wasn't perfect technique or anything, but it was a first phase of the triple jump. That was exactly what it was. If you notice, it has this like weird like little bunny hop thing. That's what that was, where he kicks the one leg. And if you're a former track person, if you're a triple jumper, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You don't do that. That's not just like a natural move for a lot of people. Let's just put it that way. So that's why I always love guys who've run track. Now, again, I don't know if he did, but if he did, well, it certainly showed. The body control from running track is the telling thing. So you have that there. Ayuk is certainly trending up. He wasn't an enormous day by any means, but that athleticism is just so stinking appealing. And speaking of appealing, George Kittle. One of the biggest tight end games that we've seen in recent memory. 15 for 183 and a touch. Stud. Stud, stud, stud. All right, that wraps it up for me today. So do me a favor, ftnfantasy.com. If you want my bets, we had another good day. I went plus 17 units on all my player props for yesterday. If you want those, you get them over at ftnbets.com. Use the promo code RATPACK to get yourself 10% off. Also, appreciate everybody reviewing the pod. We're almost there. We're inching closer on iTunes to 1,000 reviews. So close. So if you haven't already, the easiest way to do it is if you have an iPhone, open up the podcast app, go to my podcast, The Rant, scroll down, click the stars, and that's it. It is easy. I'm not lying. If you don't have one, you can figure out there's a, you know, you can go on to the what used to be called iTunes app and review there. You can review online. It's pretty easy. Even if you don't listen on iTunes, I appreciate the reviews on iTunes because it helps the podcast out a lot. And of course, you can follow me on social media at Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram. Use the hashtag RatPack. That way I know you are a listener of the podcast. Waivers tomorrow. It's going to be an interesting one. There's no doubt about it. But we'll do waivers. We'll do the cut list. We'll do the hold list as well on the podcast tomorrow. I will catch you on the flip side. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out of here. Okay, so I'm still here. I've always wanted to do this, like a little like secret track. If you're from my generation, you know, you grew up in like the 90s, they used to have these secret tracks on CDs. Honestly, I literally finished the podcast though and news broke. So I figured I might as well just talk about it here instead of having to redo things in the podcast itself. So Bill O'Brien was just fired by the Houston Texans as both the coach and general manager. I think it would be odd to fire him as one and not the other. That's not a surprise. The experiment didn't work with the DeAndre Hopkins thing and a whole lot of other things. And, you know, his time has come to an end here. We don't have any other details at this point, but expect, obviously, changes are a-coming here. For the Houston Texans with Bill O'Brien out. So secret track. Always wanted to do it. Finally did it. There you go. All right. I'll catch you tomorrow.